Hey there, friends. Welcome to the Taking Your Next Step podcast from Collegians for Christ. Through each episode, we will journey together focusing on knowing what you believe and why you believe it. If you are eager, like I am, to strengthen your faith, then take your next step now by joining us in today's episode. So we want to take our thought from last week and carry it a little bit further, a little bit deeper. We looked at how we can know God better through prayer. Now, we established that prayer is continuing a conversation that God started originally. It's essentially our response to God, and it's a direct avenue for you and I to know God better. And the ultimate result, I believe, is what Scripture teaches, is that it's an encounter with God. That's where it ends in prayer, is with an encounter with God. So in today's episode, we want to learn how to respond to God in prayer. This will have a little bit of nuts and bolts as far as prayer, but I want to take it a little bit deeper as we think about how we are to respond to God in prayer. You know, when we think about prayer and we think about responding to God, since that's how we've defined it, how can we correctly respond to Him? Is there a right way? Is there a wrong way? I think if anyone can teach us to pray, of course it's going to be who? It's going to be Jesus. Why? Because He is God. He's existed with God from the very beginning. He's part of the Trinity, so He's communicated with God for a long time. If anybody knows how to pray, it's going to be Jesus. So here we come in Matthew 26 to a prayer of Jesus in what I would say is the hardest time in His life. And let's examine this and see, how did He pray? What did He say? What was His plan or His methods? And ultimately, what can you and I learn from this prayer? So as we take it to the next level, we see here in our passage, and I'll read a few verses here, how we are to address God. Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane right before He's going to be arrested, beaten, crucified. He tells His disciples, "Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder." And it says, "And He took with Him Peter and two of the sons of Zebedee, and began to be very sorrowful and heavy. Then saith He unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with Me." And then He goes a little further. The Bible says, "Fell on His face, and He prayed." And here's His prayer. "O My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from Me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thou wilt." So here He recognizes who God is. That's where Jesus starts. "O My Father." He begins His prayer by addressing God as Father. We should begin this way. It's very similar to what He did in the model prayer in Matthew chapter, the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6. He said, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name." So He begins again here with God as our Father. Why is this? Why should we begin this way? Well, it puts God in His rightful place, in you and I in our rightful place. What does it mean that God is our Father? You know, no matter how good of a father you had, or how bad of a father, or even if you had no father in your life, we can have limited understanding, if you will, of what it means is that God is our Father. We have to look to Scripture to truly understand that. What I mean by that, I can try to be the best father I can be to my two sons, but I'm going to fall short. No matter how hard I try, I'm still tainted by sin. And some of you, unfortunately, have had a bad experience with a father. So sometimes it's hard to grasp that. But Scripture doesn't shy away from it. It still addresses that God is our Father. So what exactly does that mean? It means that God is accessible. Not only that, He wants to hear from us and He wants to help us. As our Father, He wants to guide. He wants to give. He wants to correct. As our Father, He's personal, not far off and distant. He's not away. He's very close, and He's loving. As our Father, He's our source of peace, of joy, of love. The problem is, God, who you and I should love supremely, we love not so much for who He is, but rather for what He can do for us. Too often we come to God to make us happy. And as we address God for who He is, it'll help us to recognize who God is, but it'll help us to recognize who we are. The first part's really adoration, it's praise. But as you and I recognize who we are, that's almost kind of the idea of confession. You see, a big part of learning how to pray and what to pray for is learning who we are. Learning what we're about, learning what's inside of us. You see, we must recognize that you and I have a heart disorder. Our heart's loves are disordered, or they are out of order. What I mean by that is what you and I should love in third and fourth place are typically where? They're typically in first place in our heart. And those things that should be in third and fourth, they find themselves in first. And what should be in first finds itself third, fourth, fifth. Too often we don't pray to know God. That's what we're emphasizing here, that we can know God better. Rather, we pray to get things from God. We pray when circumstances force us to pray. We pray to get things to make us happy. We think if those circumstances will go out of my life, if I get this job, if I have that relationship, if I can get over this sickness, that will make me happy. Only to find out happiness is short-lived. You see, we see God as a means through which to get things to make us happy. God has not become our happiness. Rather, he's become the avenue for you and I to receive our happiness. You see, God should be our joy and our happiness. God should be seen as our source of happiness, not the source to get things to make us happy. So in learning how to respond to God, Jesus teaches us to address God. He also teaches us to address the main purpose, and that's this, it's seeking God's will. Three times in our passage here, Jesus says this, "O my Father," he prays this once, "if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will." He prays again, and he says this, "O my Father, if this cup may not pass from me, except I drink it, thy will be done." And it says again, he went and prayed the third time, saying the same word. So Jesus prays three times in our passage. In all three prayers, the main focus was on what? God, give me. No, rather, the main focus was on seeking and surrendering to God's will. You see, when we talk about God's will, we mean this, what God desires for us, what God has his thinking on the matter, what God wants from us. It's really the bigger picture, and God's will is in the minute things of our life, but it's also in the grand scheme of things, that God has a kingdom, and he has a will within his kingdom, and he has a will for each of our lives. Here we see in these three different prayers that Jesus prayed, we see something that we can learn. We learn that he's seeking primarily God's will. The first one is a prayer of petition. He's asking God to remove the trial and suffering. In his petition, he's doing this. He's seeking what God's will is. Now, he's asking God to do something. In verse 39, "O my Father," he addresses him, he praises him, "if it is possible, let this cup pass from me." What is the cup? It's the death on the cross. It's his Father forsaking him. It's eternal life, the passageway to receive eternal life. He says, "Could there not be another way? This is heavy for me." But he says, "Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." And then he prays again, and it changes just a little bit. In verse number 42, he says this, "O my Father, if this cup may not pass from me." Now he's changed a little bit. First he says, "If it's possible, let it pass." Now he says this. You see, what's he doing? He's praying and seeking God. He's responding to God. He's encountering God, and he's learning, "God, I've asked you this, but I'm beginning to realize through prayer, through the Holy Spirit speaking to me, that what I'm asking is not your will." So now it's more of a prayer of acknowledgement. Jesus is acknowledging what God's will might be. He's acknowledging that God may not answer his prayer like he's specifically asking by removing the trial. You see, the way you and I respond to God through prayer will teach us stuff. It will teach us who God is. It will teach us what God's will is. We begin to learn what he wants from us. But at the same time, we have to be willing to surrender. And as he comes through the third prayer, he repeats the exact same prayer according to Scripture that he prayed the second time. I think we would say this now is a prayer of understanding. You see, in his repetition, he's working out what God's will truly is. You know, we learn we should pray, and sometimes you go, "Well, I've asked God once. Why should I ask him multiple times?" We understand that doing that, God really shows, it shows ourselves really, do we really want it? If we ask for it once and we're done, was it that important to us? But honestly, when we're seeking God for the healing of this person, the salvation of this person, we're seeking God to open this door, to heal this relationship, whatever it is. And sometimes we understand other people are responsible via their free will. But God helps us through that prayer because we respond to Him and we begin to encounter Him. You see, in Jesus' repetition, in our repetition, we're working out what God's will truly is. He is communicating and listening to His Father. And through that communication and through that listening, He comes to the conclusion of what God's will is. But for you and I, it's the no that we struggle so bad with. It may not be a mean no, but the no sometimes reveals what God's will is. And that's where you and I have to surrender to God's will. You see, we may not always understand what God is doing and why He is doing it, but we can understand His character, that God is truly good. That's what the psalmist said. We'll look at that next week. Truly, God is good after He went through a hard trial. We understand that God is love, that God can't lie, that God cares for us, that He will never leave us, that He's unchanging. All these character traits of God we can understand. And we can understand because He's God, His ways are higher than our ways, His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And so sometimes His will's not going to make sense to you and I, or it may rub against us. And so as we address the main purpose, what is God's will? We seek God, we encounter Him, we respond to Him, and we begin to discover what God's will is. And regardless if we love it or we don't like it, we do what Jesus did. You see, Jesus prayed and God answered no. Think about that. Jesus prayed a prayer that God did not answer. God did not take away the cup. The trial of suffering, that's what the cup was, because the cup, the trial of suffering, was His will. In His surrender, He is given over to whatever God's will is. And that is the end result, if you will, of prayer and in encountering God. It's discovering what God's will is and then surrendering to it. Warren Wiersbe had this to say about our passage. Jesus was not wrestling with God's will or resisting God's will. He was yielding Himself to God's will. As perfect man, He felt the awful burden of sin, and His holy soul was repelled by it. You see, the surrender is easier the better we know God. When we know God is good, He always cares, He knows what is best, and we can remember back how often He's been faithful to us, the surrender is easier. The less we know God, the harder sometimes that surrender can be. You see, God answered no to His own Son. There's going to be times that you and I receive the answer of no. So in knowing God better, Jesus prays that God will give you and I what? A helper through the Holy Spirit. You see, He teaches us to address our helper, but also our hindrance. He said this in verse 41, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." So the Spirit is willing to help us in prayer. God has given us the Holy Spirit, which is a huge helper in and for prayer. Romans 8:26-28 teaches us that the Holy Spirit helps us to pray. The Holy Spirit helps us to know what to pray. The Holy Spirit helps align our prayers with God's will, even when we don't know what to pray. So understand the helper is the Holy Spirit. But we also learn that the hindrance is the flesh. The flesh is weak in prayer. Think about it. These disciples could not stay awake. Jesus taught them to pray to resist temptation. That's what He's saying. Yet they let the flesh win and they fell to the temptation. What was the temptation? To not stay with Him, to forsake Him. In verse 56 of our passage, all the disciples fled when Jesus was arrested. You see, the flesh is always going to be a hindrance to us. It's always there dragging us down. The flesh tells us, pray later. Prayer doesn't work. Prayer sucks. The flesh gets tired. distracted, worried, consumed with so many other things. I promise you this, the flesh is not going to help you to pray in any way. Your knees are going to get tired. Your mind's going to wander. You will have to fight the flesh in order to pray. And that's what Jesus warned. Watch and pray. Look, that you enter not into temptation. You want to stay away from temptation? He says what? Watch, stay awake, and pray. Prayer is that avenue to help you and I overcome temptation. The bottom line is this. Prayer is a journey, a discovery of what God's will is. And a specific part of prayer is learning and discerning God's will. If prayer is knowing God better, then prayer is a direct avenue to discovering God's will. So many times we say, what is God's will for my life? Discover God's will through prayer by drawing close to Him and encountering Him. How can you and I respond to God through prayer? He teaches us, pray to our Father. Pray to discover what God's will is, and then pray to surrender to whatever God's will is for your life. Thank you for taking the time to listen. If this podcast has been helpful to you, please share it with a friend or subscribe to stay up to date on the latest episodes. You can connect with Collegians for Christ online for more information and resources at cfccampusministry.com.